the ones that can't be here is my mom. She's just having a real fit with her back. And continue to remember her in prayer. Before we get started, thanks everybody for your prayers and your emails and your calls and your love sent our way. I was thinking this morning, when we watch football, we expect somebody to get hurt. When you rake leaves, you don't expect to get hurt. You don't expect to end up with a finger that's going to, if the Lord tarries, and he doesn't come in and heal it, it's going to be, Susie's finger is going to be amputated on Tuesday morning. We're trusting the Lord for a miracle, and one way or the other, it'll happen, a miracle. We're praying for Debbie Baker. At the same time, we'll be having surgery in a different hospital. Sue is doing remarkable, and pray for her husband that he catches up with her. She's called me to her side early yesterday morning. Turn to Isaiah 41:13. She said, I want to read you something, Ty. I want to read you something. Isaiah 41:13. And it's her right hand, her right finger, this one right here, ring finger, that is very severely damaged. And she says, listen to this. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And she believes that. I believe that too. And so there we go. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now we're going to go back into the, turn to Psalm 91. We're going to go back into the resurrection story that we've been a long time in getting to. We're studying about Luke the man. We're in the 24th chapter of Luke and the other gospel records that make mention, and they all do, of the resurrection of Christ. So last week we ended up talking a little bit about angels, and that's how we kind of ended our lesson. And I've heard several of you give testimonies of angels that you've witnessed in your own life. And in Psalm 91:11, we still read this fact, which is true. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And one of the things we noticed last week in the different testimonies I recounted and all the different appearances of angels, I gave four different accounts, that it's not always apparent at first that the angels looking out for us are indeed angels. Sometimes they look very ordinary, like men. Like very ordinary men, like someone you would not suspect was an angel. And in Joshua 5:13, you find that Joshua saw a man over against him with his sword drawn. And this man was captain of the host of the Lord, and in reality, it was pre-incarnate Christ Jesus himself. And oftentimes in the Old Testament, when you read of the angel of the Lord, it was Christ Jesus himself making appearances unto the various men and women in a form of a man. And if, as you read these accounts, each of these appearances occurred at a biblical highlighted turning point in the lives of those to whom the Lord appeared unto. And we're going to see this again in our resurrection story when our resurrected Lord and Savior appeared unto the Emmaus disciples. In one account reads in another form, as a man. Now, I'll give you one final thought that was post last week's notes. But think about angels in Jesus. The angel Gabriel was sent to Mary, the mother of Jesus, to announce the conception of Christ Jesus. It was the angel of the Lord that announced to the lowly shepherds near Bethlehem of the birth of the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. At the same time, a multitude of these heavenly angels appeared, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." That was found in Luke 2:13 and 14. And as we, when we studied that, I noted that I imagine all these heavenly angels took a moment to view baby Jesus there in the manger in Bethlehem, for the simple reason they hadn't seen him for 9 months. Think about it. Okay. After Christ was tempted of the devil, we read in both Matthew 4:11 and in Mark 1:13 that the angels came and ministered unto him. Because, after all, that's what angels are, ministering spirits, according to Hebrews 1:4. So, when we get to the resurrection story of Jesus, we should not be surprised that it was an angel at the empty tomb of Jesus who announced to the women who were first to come to that sepulcher early on the first day of the week, saying, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said." That's in Matthew 28:6. And then 40 days later, as Jesus ascended up into heaven in Acts 1, we read in Acts 1:10 and 11 that two angels said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" They're all like this. It's kind of hard to go like this without your mouth coming open. But what had they witnessed? "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Well, what manner did he go into heaven? We know that Jesus ascended up into heaven as a cloud received him out of their sight. That's Acts 1:9. It's not a cloud of angels. This is a cloud of saints. It's not a fleecy cumulus cloud, an altocumulus, standing lenticular, or any of those. It was not that. Those kind of clouds that we see nearly every day. And it wasn't, again, a cloud of angels. The same cloud is a cloud of overcomers. We see them again in Revelation 10:1. There are several places we see them. In Revelation 10:1, John writes, "I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." Of course, this mighty angel is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this cloud, again, is a cloud of saints, a much larger crowd of overcoming saints than composed the cloud that we found in Acts 1:9, because this cloud includes all the New Testament overcomers. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. You know, Paul ends every chapter in 1 Thessalonians, the first epistle he ever wrote, saying something about the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, we find another description of this cloud of saints being with Jesus, and it says it like this: "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus," that means dead, "and those believers who have died, will God bring with him. In the manner in which Jesus was taken up into heaven was in a cloud of saints. The manner in which he will return from heaven is with a cloud of saints." And in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, we read this: "Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds," this cloud of saints, "to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And notice that we that are alive and remain are caught up together with them whom Jesus Christ brings with him, among whom are the so great a cloud of witnesses found mentioned in Hebrews 12:1. And are we looking to meet the Lord in the air? "And with him will be so great a cloud of witnesses, some of whom we will know." Yeah, may it be today. But our focus isn't on the cloud, it's on him. Right. We can be a part of that. Now, I guess I will have you turn to Matthew 28:3 next. And we're, you know, taking our time here, but that's fine. We're getting some thoughts out. And we're studying concerning the resurrection of Jesus. So I want to concentrate for a few moments on what Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, witnessed about these angels at the empty tomb of Jesus. And we noted previously last week, I believe, that they at the first were perplexed by the empty tomb, not aware or realizing that Jesus had risen from the dead. And in Matthew 28:3, we find that they were affrighted by the angel of the Lord. It says there, "His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow." In Mark 16, so we're going to reference Matthew 28, Mark 16, John 20, and Luke 24 several times back and forth as we go through this. Mark 16:5 records this angel of the Lord as being a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a long white garment. Luke records in Luke 24:4 that there were two men stood by them in shining garments. And when we get a little further in Luke 24, we will find in Luke 24:22-23 that a man named Cleophas said this: "Yea, and certain women also in our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and they found not his body. They came, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive." And then John chapter 20, verse 12, tells us the same story, that Mary Magdalene here seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. So I think we notice that all four gospel writers give similar yet differing accounts of what the Holy Ghost inspired them to write about these angels, yet the message remains the same in all the gospel records. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. That's found in Mark 16:6. It's also found in Matthew 28:6. It's also found in Luke 24:6. And we looked at those verses earlier on in this study. And they all record similar statements. Shortly we will read what the Apostle John wrote, because after seeing these angels, it was that Jesus began making his many appearances that we will discuss later on as we go on. The Schofield Reference Bible in Matthew 28, and I think we mentioned this before, but we'll mention it here again. He has footnotes in Matthew 28, down towards the bottom of the page, giving an order of the appearances by Jesus after his resurrection. And I'm not going to go through all these. You can if you want to. But this includes the following. And we're going to spend a lot of time here, both now and maybe next time if the Lord tarries, talking about on the day of his resurrection. On the day of his resurrection, Jesus first appears to Mary Magdalene. We read this earlier in Mark 16:9. And we're going to read about it again in John 20. You can go to John 20 if you want. We'll be there in a minute. The angel had told Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome in Mark 16:6, which we referenced as we begin this study. Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which is crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And they were told specifically, and note this, that Jesus was not there, but that he had risen from the dead. They didn't say his dead body was moved to another place, because he had risen from the dead. But how did this register in their minds? We'll see this. We read Matthew 28:6, the same words almost. He is risen, for he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Now I had you turn to John 20, which adds a little bit more information to this account. John 20, we'll start in verse 1. The first day of the week, which is Sunday. Saturday is the Sabbath day, so it's the day after the Sabbath day, the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, who we know is John himself, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. She thought the body had been moved someplace else. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. John beat him there. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. And we've gone over this before, verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They knew not the scripture. They hadn't really registered what Jesus had told them three separate occasions, that he would be crucified and rise again the third day. Verse 10, then the disciples went again to their own home. But Mary, this is Mary Magdalene, stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And this is when she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. So putting this all together with what we've read in Matthew 28, Mark 16, and John 20, it seems that Mary Magdalene had already been told by an angel that Jesus was not in the sepulchre, for he is risen, as he said. And when she returned to the sepulchre with Peter and John, two angels ask her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I not know where they have laid him. The fact that she'd been told that he's already risen from the dead went pew, right over her head. She still didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead and wished to know now where they had laid him. Now, let's read in John 20, verse 14. And when she had said, thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, in a voice, in a tone that she had heard before, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. So Mary Magdalene was the first one that Jesus appeared to on the day of his resurrection. Secondly, go to Matthew 28, 6. Matthew 28, 6. It seems that Jesus appears on the day of his resurrection unto the women returning from visiting the empty tomb. We read in Matthew 28, 6, the angels were speaking, He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Angels are ministering spirits. They give a message. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, I'm going to ask a question. We'll answer it in the future. Did Jesus' disciples or any of the other brethren mentioned here go immediately into Galilee? They were in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. They were, you know, had been there for the Passover feast, and Jesus was crucified, and they were still there in Jerusalem. So, Lord willing, we'll discuss this a little later in the study, but the short answer is no. Jesus' disciples and the rest of the brethren referenced here did not immediately go into Galilee, but within the next 40 days they did. And there they did see resurrected Jesus, and this is part of the sequence of events and of his appearances for those 40 days. Let me go to Acts 1. It's not, again, in my notes, but we went over this a little bit last week. It's only a couple pages over there from John. It says in Acts 1:3 that Jesus also, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So he just didn't, you know, he had multiple appearances. We expect to find this as we go on. And when he seen them, he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That was in Acts 1:3. So, we will get to this Galilee appearance of the resurrected Jesus in a sequence. On the day of his resurrection, and this is kind of a hard one to piece together, but Schofield did, and Paul did, and Luke did. On the day of his resurrection, the third person that Jesus appeared to was Peter. He's also referenced in scripture as Simon, or as Cephas, or Simon Peter. And let's go back to Luke 24 for a second. I'll read. Oh boy. Well, you can read. Let's just read the first 12 verses. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Remember that? You remember that? No, they didn't remember that. But then, it says here in verse 8, and they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them, to the apostles, as idle tales, and they believed them not. Verse 12, Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre. And John, we remember we read that earlier in John. He wrote this too. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. It was given some thought to this. And probably after a couple hours of pondering, Jesus appears to Peter. We find this in one place is in Luke 24:34, where the Emmaus disciples, which we'll get to next, they tell the disciples, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon, unto Peter. Our apostle Paul also writes about Jesus appearing unto Peter, and this is back in the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 and 5. Paul writes, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter. Now, how did Paul know that? Well, in Galatians 1:18, Paul writes of staying with Peter for 2 weeks upon his first visit back to Jerusalem after getting saved. And so it was no doubt that during this time when Peter conveyed this information to Paul about Jesus appearing unto him on the day of his resurrection. So Peter, the Lord did appear to Peter. And of course, we just read how Luke mentioned this also in Luke 24:34. And then we find back in our study of Luke, in chapter 24 of Luke, that Luke is the gospel writer that writes the most about the two Emmaus disciples. They were the fourth to see Jesus alive on the day of his resurrection. John Mark also makes a brief mention of them in Mark 16:12, writing, after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told the residue. And when they told, we'll see this, neither believe they them. These are a stubborn group. This is a stubborn group. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. We latch on to unbelief faster than we latch on to belief, don't we? And so I'll make a mention of this. After we read the account in Luke 24 of the two Emmaus disciples telling the disciples Jesus that they had seen Jesus, we'll come to the fifth appearance of Christ Jesus on the day of his resurrection, which would be to the disciples that evening on the first day of the week. And we'll cover that a little later on in the study also, Lord willing. You can track on your own the rest of Jesus' appearances that Schofield puts in his notes of Matthew 28, but at the end of his sequence, he mentions that he appeared to Paul and then to Stephen. He's got that backwards, the timing of that. You can't always believe everything you read in notes, especially don't believe everything you can Google up, okay? You can make sure it's verified by Scripture. But as we read earlier this morning, after his resurrection, Jesus was seen by believers for 40 days. And all of these appearances are not obviously recorded in Scripture because we do not have a record to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. When Luke was doing his interviews and writing the book of Luke, as the Holy Ghost gave him inspiration, don't you think he met some of these people and they told him similar stories? Just like when I mentioned angels last week, several told me an account of their own of seeing angels. So we're going to run out of time here, but we'll the story of the two Emmaus disciples is what we'll be covering next. And I'll give you a little bit of background information. We might review this next week. The village called Emmaus is only mentioned one time in Scripture. There's a lot of things that are only mentioned one time in Scripture that Luke writes about. Emmaus is one of those places. According to Smith's Bible Dictionary, Emmaus means warm baths, like hot springs, but it means warm baths. Don't go there, Carolyn, and you know, let's pay attention to what we're doing. We're all thinking, oh, that'd be nice, a warm bath, yeah. The actual site of the village of Emmaus is still debated about, but Luke tells us it was about 3 furlongs from Jerusalem, which is a little more than 7 miles. You know, some of you, when you go out for your run in the morning, you go 7 miles. I know people that do. And I got trapped in that one time with this captain. We were on a layover, and he says, "Do you want to go for a run?" I said, "Sure." So we dressed up, and I'm used to running about 10-minute miles, and he's used to clicking off about 6-minute miles. And I tried to keep up with him, and I lasted my normal 3 miles and then crawled back to the hotel, you know, and he kept on going. So I learned real quick, no, I don't want to go for a run today is the proper answer. It's getting to where I don't even hardly can walk that far, you know. In Jackson's Dictionary of Proper Names, it has a Emmaus meaning in earnest longing. In earnest longing. Probably because of what the Emmaus disciples said to each other in Luke 23:32. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? I don't have the time David did the other night, so we can't finish this, but we will, Lord, if the Lord tarries next week, get into more of this. Thank you for your attention.